This is Nick Geyer, the Palouse Pundit, defending constitutional monarchy. I lived in Denmark for 4 years, and I'm going back for the first time since 1986. I'm a little choked up with nostalgia, and one of the things I miss most is living under a queen. On a cold January day in 1972, I stood alongside tens of thousands of Danes as a funeral procession for King Frederick IX passed through the streets of Copenhagen. His 32-year-old daughter ascended to the throne and was crowned Queen Margaret II. Along with her sisters, Margaret attended public schools and studied archaeology and political science at Cambridge and the Sorbonne. She is an accomplished artist, excelling in textiles, book illustration, and set design for the Royal Theater. As in all constitutional monarchies, the Queen is the head of state, but the Parliament makes all the decisions. For this reason, anti-royals everywhere say that monarchies are very expensive anachronisms. In a previous commentary on the virtue of patriotism, I demonstrated the dangers of having a political figure as head of state and risking national unity in partisan strife. I submit that competent popular monarchs are worth every penny spent on them if they succeed in holding their countries together. In 1992, against the advice of the State Department, I traveled to Thailand during a time of crisis in which student demonstrators had brought down a military government. During my 3-week visit, I was surprised to find both national peace and pride as the country rallied around its Buddhist king. Like most European monarchies, the Thai royals have an impeccable reputation and symbolize an essential civic core that cannot be sullied by political storms. Royal integrity is the key to a successful constitutional monarchy, and the self-destruction of the Nepali royal family is proof that discredited kings do not and should not get a second chance. The current king, Gyanendra, has totally lost his people's confidence after he shut down the media and dismissed the parliament. It is doubtful that the monarchy in Nepal will survive. Unfortunately, the reputation of the British royalty is not as shiny as it was when young Elizabeth II ascended the throne in 1952. As recent as 5 years ago, the British public was very cool to the idea of a King Charles who divorced Diana, the people's princess, and then remarried a lover whom he continued to see during his marriage. But now 61% of Brits don't mind that the Duchess of Cornwall be called the Princess Consort, and there's been a fourfold increase in those who say that it's okay that she be queen. Still, 19% believe that the monarchy should be thrown out entirely. When I was collecting stamps as a kid, I was amazed at how many of them had Queen Elizabeth on them. But I was too young to know anything about the Commonwealth, 53 former British colonies that still recognize Elizabeth as their leader. She still rules directly as queen in 16 of these countries, including Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. Let's hope that a King Charles and Queen Camilla can command as that much respect and symbolize so much international harmony. With a president who has politicized his own Justice Department and divided the nation more than ever, I will be happy to have a break from a country where I'm called unpatriotic and a bush hater, and join the Danes who all wave their flag and love their queen. This is Nick Geyer, the Palouse Pundit, requesting that you send your comments to nickgeyer@adelphia.net or check out my website at www.nickgeyer.com.